At this point, we are honored to have our President, Robert E. Kennedy, here today, who will address you with some appropriate remarks, I am sure. Dr. Kennedy?
Senator Grunsky, Assemblyman Ketchum, Paul Bankey, Bruce Chayden, family of the McPhees, and the students, I do, in fact, welcome you too, as did Paul Bankey, to this specific occasion. To those of you who worked diligently these past 24 hours to make this place ready for this moment, my heartfelt thanks. To those of you who have worked diligently this past year to open the doors of this place on this first week of March 1971, my heartfelt thanks. To those of you in this audience, and some who could not be here, who conceived and planned this living space for this campus and diligently worked toward making it a reality, my heartfelt thanks. It took faith all the way. In the Christian vernacular, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And long ago, the man for whom this building is named, the late Julian A. McPhee, hoped that students on this campus might rub elbows, exchange ideas, and cultivate greater understanding for one another in such a place as this. I happen to know from personal association with this man, who was for 33 years president of Cal Poly, that nearly 30 years ago, he began to talk about such a place as this, not nearly so elegant, mind you, but a place that would be truly a living room for all members of the Cal Poly family. It was his foresight that first established a fund whereby profits from the El Corral bookstore would be set aside for the eventual construction of a new bookstore and College Union complex. In fact, his foresight on this matter extended back far enough so that Naval Aviation cadets who attended the Naval Flight Preparatory School on this campus during World War II made their contributions by patronizing the college store, as have other thousands of students, faculty, and staff during the intervening years. I thank you very much. As that fund grew slowly but steadily, there were great pressures exerted every year by various groups in the academic community to use the accumulated funds for some more immediate and always highly important use, even though the often rational and more often emotional appeals were very compelling. Julian McPhee guarded that account which he had earmarked College Union. By the time construction of this facility had become a possibility, the fund had grown to $750,000 and became, in effect, the down payment on this $4 million project, with the balance of the cost financed by a federal loan obtained in 1967. It was Julian's hope that the seeds of friendship among hundreds of students might take root in a place like this. He hoped that these friendships would bear fruit over the years among Poly graduates and nourish them throughout their lives. Those were his hopes. But it was his faith that it could happen, that eventually made it happen. During the 3 years construction period, when floods and strikes and similar unplanned complications seemed destined to delay the project beyond the patience of all involved, I kept reminding myself and others that faith was still needed. There were times when the degree of faith needed was comparable to that of the three Catholic nuns whose car ran out of gas on a lonely country road. Although they had not seen any traffic either direction for hours, they reassured each other that someone would come along very shortly and give them some gasoline. As they opened their eyes from a short prayer, a truck came over the hill into sight. The driver saw the sisters, and he screeched to a halt. And when they told him the problem, he said he would gladly give them some gas, but he didn't have any way to get it out of his tank into theirs. One said, "No problem, we are nurses, and in the trunk of our car we have various hospital supplies, including some rubber hose." The truck driver said, "Fine," but he found the hose was a little too short to reach from his tank into theirs. One of the sisters said, "Well, wouldn't this work?" And she handed him a bedpan from the back of the trunk of the car. And he responded affirmatively, and he quickly siphoned out the necessary gasoline for them into the pan. He then excused himself because it was too late for a delivery, and he drove away. Now, as the sisters were pouring the gasoline into the tank, another car came into sight. The car stopped. Out stepped a priest who watched silently for a moment, and then he said, "Sisters, I've been a priest for 30 years, but this is the greatest act of faith that I have ever seen." Now, the second greatest act of faith was when our student body president, Paul Bankey, decided some months ago that the appropriate time to get it to dedicate the yet-to-be-finished College Union would be on the weekend preceding Founders Day, March the 8th, the 70th anniversary of the founding by the state legislature of Cal Poly in 1901. It took a lot of work on the part of many people to ready the College Union building for this open house and the dedication and validate Paul Bankey's faith. In a sense, we have always had a College Union. For years, our activities program has successfully used many facilities scattered about the campus to serve the kinds of functions that will now be housed in this structure. We have already seen a shift of the activity to the College Union for events which formerly utilized the library lawn, the amphitheater, the architecture patio, the cellar, the old post office, the temporary College Union, and other campus areas. This College Union draws together in a central location many of the informal, warm, and memorable activities that students and faculty alike regard as essential to college life. It is appropriate, as we direct our attention to this building, that we perceive the dynamic influences it may have upon the lifestyle of our entire community. The availability of a variety of facilities will attract students, faculty, and staff. Our environmentally conscious students probably will find much to discuss about the effect of this particular facility upon our environment and our activities. There already has been much discussion about the color combinations, pro and con. This room, by creating a context for many and varied occasions, is truly multi-purpose. It is a fine place for lecture, discussion, debate, and drama, for dances and banquets, films, and other gatherings. The opportunities such new space create must be guarded by those who wish to preserve and trust the very resources of the College Union itself. Large buildings tend to become monuments. With proper maintenance, such a building will last indefinitely. We see in history that this is true, provided that the community or the society has the will to maintain and to preserve and to develop such a structure, and to agree upon its function and use. Disagreement and conflict has led to the destruction of as many great monuments as have earthquakes and natural disasters. This building is a living monument. The people who use it are what will be important. It is a College Union, and the key to its role on our campus is unity. This is not a place to come together in order to tear each other apart. Since we began construction of this building, our enrollment has outstripped the surrounding community's resources. In 1950, almost 10 years after Julian McPhee began setting aside funds for a College Union, our total enrollment here at San Luis Obispo was only 2,681 students. 10 years later, in 1960, it was 4,713. In the past decade, our enrollment has almost tripled, with about 12,400 students enrolled in the last fall quarter. We hope the college can hold enrollment to no more than 16,000 students by 1980. I believe the College Union has planned into it the flexibility to be appropriate not only for today, but for the foreseeable and not so foreseeable future. The federal loan will be paid off in 40 years. I have faith that when some future student body president and college president plan a mortgage burning ceremony in the year of 2007, the college union will be considered appropriate even to that time. I have faith that it will be, but my faith is based upon knowledge that the College Union Board of Governors will carry out its legal responsibility for administering the Julian McPhee Union as a part of a strong student body government program of the Associated Students Incorporated. The College Union Board of Governors is composed of 15 voting members, 10 students and 5 non-students, and 6 non-voting members, including faculty, staff, alumni, and the college president. One of the not-to-be-taken-lightly responsibilities is making certain that the $3 million plus federal loan payment is made in the right amount and on time. The College Union Board of Governors also undertake policy formulation to ensure equitable use of the union's facilities by all members of the campus community. Chairman of the College Union Board of Governors at the present time is Jeffrey Whitaker of Upland. Richard Loomis of Arroyo Grande is our alumni representative. The firm of Joseph Estrich and Associates of San Francisco did the architectural work, and Stanton Reed of Alhambra was the general contractor. I know that Mr. Estrich is here in the audience. Mr. Estrich, would you stand, please? Would you please give Mr. Estrich a hand? You know, sometimes when students want to ask me questions about things, I don't always know the answers. And so if you have any questions about this building, about why it's like it is, what color it is, please don't ask me that. Mr. Estrich came down here specifically today so that he could answer those questions. We do think that it's a fine building, Mr. Estrich. Is there a representative here of the Stanton Reed contracting firm? I think they're busy down in the basement fixing the bowling alley, which is not yet finished. Mr. George Merrill is in the audience. Mr. George Merrill, would you stand? Mr. George Merrill is a representative of the Chancellor's Office, responsible for many things, including helping us look out after things like federal loans for buildings like this. And we thank you very much, George Merrill, for helping us to find the financing for this facility. I think you would be interested in knowing that this particular College Union facility was one of the first approved by the trustees of the California State Colleges under a plan by which the financial underwriting to repay the loan would be by student fees assessed against the students themselves by a vote that they would take. At this campus in May of 1964, the students did in fact vote 91% to assess themselves for a period of many years to repay that loan. That's all right. I did the same thing when I bought a house, so don't worry about it. It should be particularly noted in these days of budget crisis in the state that no state tax funds are involved in the design, cost, construction, or operation of this college union. And that fact would particularly have pleased Julian McPhee. During his years as president of Cal Poly, he earned a reputation among legislators and others in our state capitol for running an efficient and economical program of asking only for essential funds, financing no educational frills, having employees who gave more than a day's work for a day's pay. The word work had a particularly important place in Julian McPhee's life. He had a tremendous faith in work. He believed that a human being's work not only shaped his destiny, but provided him with dignity and justification and purpose. He believed in play, too. Much the same, perhaps, as the philosopher recognizes the struggle the individual makes to maintain equilibrium in his life. He thought of play not as a seeking after pleasure for pleasure's sake, not as an objective in life, but as an activity which provided balance to work. Those of us who worked closely with Julian McPhee during the last quarter of a century of his life seldom saw him engaged in an activity which by most people's standards could be called play. To him, however, just being with his lovely wife, his six daughters and their husbands, and his 31 grandchildren was to play, was play, not a parental duty, but a supreme pleasure. And we are particularly pleased, as I said, that we have with us today 36 members of the McPhee family here for the dedication. I wonder if they would mind all standing together so we could see them. Play to Julian McPhee was also the co-curricular activities of the Cal Poly students. His obvious enjoyment in attending student body activities, athletic events, banquets, barbecues, dances, plays, Poly Royal, brought him invitations that could have kept him busy day and night, 7 days a week. This man we honor today counted authority and order as the necessary limitation upon man's great desire for freedom and liberty. He bore heavy responsibilities for the entire span of his adult life, but he bore those responsibilities cheerfully and willingly because he always carried with him a vision of how any present situation might be improved for the eventual advantage of both society and of the individual. The world and this college has changed considerably since Julian McPhee's death on November 10, 1967, but the qualities one seeks in a man have not changed. As an educator, Julian McPhee had faith in tomorrow's crop of men and women. He had faith in students. He believed in disciplined growth toward a philosophy of life. He was a wise man who recognized that the educative process needed patterns of relationship that dealt in the everyday experiences of work and leisure time. He believed that if a person would serve himself, he must serve others. He loved the paradox of his favorite expression, the way to be selfish is to be unselfish. His unselfish service to others brought Julian McPhee in his lifetime unsought for honors. More important to him, it brought frequently expressed words of gratitude from former students who recognized the influence of this man's work upon their lives. He wanted every Poly student to work for his right to be under the sun and to flourish as a good citizen in whatever community he chose to become a part. This building we are dedicating today, beautiful and sturdy as it is, cannot bring about brotherhood. Brotherhood cannot be legislated nor manufactured with a lathe. Brotherhood is a quality of human experience, a quality of the heart. I have faith that the people who will come together here in the Julian A. McPhee College Union will do so in a spirit of unity. Let us then dedicate ourselves to creating unity in this union, in this college, and by extension of our experience here, to the community and the world around us. Let the Julian A. McPhee College Union be known always as a unifying force.
Please stand for the benediction. Let us pray. Our Father in God, now affirm our dedication of this place. Grant us perspective for these times of decision and a life that is alive to the demands of the now. We must face the fact that when war, nuclear mistake, and ecological disaster make it possible that this building may end up standing with no men and women left alive to use it, put our priorities into order that we can build a community that lasts as long as pre-stressed concrete. The Lord bless you with perception. a passion for justice and peace, and with his presence wherever you go. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our formal ceremony in the multipurpose room today. Immediately following our remarks now, we're going to ask Mrs. McPhee, members of the McPhee family, president of our college, and some of our distinguished guests, to cut the ribbon symbolizing the official opening of the College Union Building. I would like to ask all of you to remain seated until such time as we can get off the stage. Escort the McPhee family out the back doors and into the lobby around the central staircase where there is supposed to be, I hope, a ribbon that we'll be able to cut. So if you'll just bear with us for a moment and then follow us out, we can watch this symbolic event. Thank you.